Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nevishesha Sunyavadi Paskatya Deshatarane Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyam Namo Namaha. So tonight is our last evening together like this. Doesn't that make you feel a little sad? Yes. It's the last evening to sit by the side of Giriraj, the place, the transcendental place that this beautiful pastime took place. And we're all seated together under the shade of the and listening to this wonderful katha. So, the cowherd men, boys, and cows, and women, and everyone else, and all their belongings were under Giriraj, safe and sound, and having a wonderful, wonderful festival that lasted for 7 days without stopping. Unlike us, they didn't go to sleep and wake up. They didn't go and have a meal and come back. They didn't have any other thoughts in their minds except that Krishna was right there before them. And no matter who they were, no matter where they were, how far away they were, or how close they were, they all saw Krishna clearly, clearly looking at them. So this was very special. And meanwhile, Indra was horrified when one of his greatest enemies suggested that they should become allies against the transcendental master who he was so severely offending. And at that point, Indra's heart became full of anxiety, confusion, and shame. And he stopped the storm. As soon as Indra had entered his now dark, cave-like home, the sun shone brightly in Raja's sky. The clouds all dispersed by the mercy of Krishna. The danger had finally ended. Giridhari loudly addressed the Braj people. He said, "The fierce winds and rain have ceased. The sky is totally clear, freed from the clouds of devastation. The thick covering of mud is now dry and smooth. After falling unconscious for one whole week, the sun has now opened his eyes. O residents of Vrindavan, your village has returned to normal. Now it is time to come out from beneath the mountain. Everyone can leave this great palace of Govardhan Hill. Do you know that the people underneath the hill were illuminated by the Kustaba gem that Krishna was wearing that created another sun under the hill?" So they all gathered around him. They didn't want to leave. And they gazed at his beautiful face. as he still held the hill aloft. When the cowherd boys then began to call the cows delayed for quite some time, looking at Krishna. And then, as cows do, they shot out like a volley of arrows. But then they saw that Krishna was still under the hill. And so they quickly ran back in again, and they all surrounded him again. Immediately, Krishna drove them out again by glancing at them with the compassion of a friend. Because of Krishna's repeated requests, eventually, making a great tumult, the people also departed from the cave-like heart of Sri Krishna's best servant, Giriraj. When everyone was out, they watched and waited for Krishna to come out also. And then, in the same way as he had lifted it, Krishna playfully placed Govardhan Hill back down on the ground as before. And everybody in Vraj saw this, but no one could understand how it was done. When Krishna came out, everybody gathered around him and they hugged him and hugged him, and they were thinking, by hugging him, we will make all the sufferings in his body go away. His eyes pouring tears, Balaram warmly embraced his brother. Yasodhara said, "Alas, alas, my son's body has become severely weakened from bearing such a heavy weight." Then, using her lotus palms, Yasoda massaged Krishna's left arm and kissed his hand affectionately. And Rohini, who had attained the summit of parental affection, offered aarti to Krishna and Balaram with a jeweled ghee lamp. Then, taking auspicious offerings, the elderly gopis worshipped their young hero who had defeated Swargaloka's great king Indra. And the wives of the yagyic brahmanas, they also joined the cowherd ladies to offer yogurt and unbroken grains. Placing their hands lovingly on Krishna's head, all the people of Braj, they all blessed him. They blessed him. They said, "May you live long. May you live long. May you subdue the wicked, and may you protect the pious, and give pleasure to your parents and the cows." Those 7 days felt like 7 millenniums for Indra. But for the Vrajavasis, they felt like 7 hours. As for Giriraj, being constantly bathed by the rain pouring down and anointed by the fragrance of Krishna's divine body, the serene and peaceful Giriraj was not in the least bit disturbed. He looked absolutely radiant throughout the whole ordeal. And instead of being harmed, his beautiful rocky body was now washed clean and sparkled brightly, while fresh green grass grew up so that he could now better serve the cows. As the people of Braj placed all their valuables back on the carts to return to their villages, they sang beautiful songs that filled the sky and the earth. And accompanied by them, Krishna returned to his home, where, to everyone's astonishment, they saw that in their absence, nothing had been destroyed. The gateways, the courtyards, the rooftop rooms of their homes all glittered attractively from being washed by the heavy rain. The fresh, clear sky filled everywhere with auspiciousness. They felt as if they had just emerged from a deep, dark well of calamity and come to the light of good fortune. By lifting Govardhan Hill, Sri Krishna showed that he is superior not only to Indra, but to all the demigods in the universe. Now please hear what happened to the Devatas' king, Indra. After causing such a disturbance to the residents of Braj, thinking himself very lowly and fallen, devoid of strength or luster, and contemplating suicide, Indra returned to his home. He had no desire to eat, nor did he want to see his wife Sachi, nor did he enter the assembly of the Devatas. In anger, he tried to make Vraj suffer, but in the end, he only brought suffering to himself. He attacked Vraj with fierce winds and rain, but in the end, it was only he who was badly wounded at heart. He hurled powerful thunderbolts at Giriraj to smash him to pieces, but in the end, it was as if those thunderbolts had been hurled at his own head. Anyone who tries to attack Krishna's devotees will find their future take a sudden change for the worse. Hearing what had happened, Brihaspati came to see Indra and chastised him privately. He could do this because he is the guru of the demigods. He said, "O Indra, because you did not worship Krishna, your condition is now filled with so much distress. Even though you have 1,000 eyes, the blindness of intoxication has defeated you. You are so foolish that you forgot that you have no power to live without Krishna's mercy. You acted like the enemy of the super soul, of whom everyone takes shelter and prays to for protection. Can it not be said that you have become insane? Indra replied, I made a plan without intelligent thought. What shall I do now? Brihaspati replied, in a situation as serious as this, only Lord Brahma can help you. You should go immediately and take shelter of his lotus feet. Embarrassed, grieving, lamenting loudly, Indra went to see Lord Brahma and hesitatingly he described what he had done. Hearing of his offense, Lord Brahma said, Alas, how could you have done this? You are the king of the Devatas, yet you are so foolish that you have committed such a grave offense. The moment they hear of this, sages will cover their ears and they will mock you. I have no power to forgive your sin born of pride. The poison of your arrogance is intolerable. Nevertheless, I myself have also committed offenses while passionately absorbed in the work of creation. Therefore, it is my duty to help you. When the cows are pleased, Krishna is pleased. If you want to seek forgiveness from him who dearly loves the cows, you should worship the heavenly cow, Surabhi, mother of all cows, and beg her assistance to approach Krishna. But be warned, if you do not do this, the demigods will be broken into pieces by the demons. Indra, now fearful of the demons, immediately left for Surabhi Loka, the planet in the heavenly sphere where Surabhi and the celestial cow resides. He described to her his offense, and although she was completely disgusted by his cruel attack on Raja's cows, somehow he convinced his aunt to go with him and intercede on his behalf. Together they came to Vrindavan and waited for the right moment. Krishna's pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill had covered the one with 1,000 eyes in layers of intense embarrassment. Knowing that, Krishna slipped away to a quiet place to meet him. Seeing him from a distance, Surabhi said, "Look, seated on an effulgent throne on Govardhan Hill, Krishna now smiles as he glances towards us with the corner of his eyes. I think he is willing to meet us." "With a pure heart, approach him," said Surabhi. "Fall down like a stick and offer your obeisances to him. And then try to please him with prayers and convince him to forgive you." First, Surabhi quietly approached Krishna and said, "O my Lord, please hear my words attentively. You are famous throughout the universe and worshipable by all. Even if hundreds of angry Indras try to kill your cows and the gopas with ferocious clouds pouring torrents of rain, you will protect Gokul and the cows and the residents. We no longer want this Devata as our protector. Instead, we wish to accept you as our master, our Indra. Being pleased by your merciful behavior, Lord Brahma anxiously told me, 'O goddess Surabhi, go happily and bathe the Indra of Gokul, who is the son of Nanda Baba. Under Krishna's compassionate protection, the Vrajavasis who rebelled against Indra, even though they are not at all envious of him.'" And then Surabhi said, "O Krishna, just see this person standing behind me. He begs to be forgiven for his serious offenses, but he is too afraid to step forward. If you will allow him, he will come and submit his petition." Then Indra stepped forward and fell down flat. His majestic glowing crown touched the soft lotus feet of Krishna, whose effulgence was greater than the jewels on his crown. Indra wept and wept and wept loudly. Lying there on the ground, he cried and cried. Lotus-eyed Krishna, he gently touched his crown and made him stand up. And Indra stood with folded hands and his head bowed. With fear and devotion in his heart, he gazed at Krishna's jewel-like toenails that glowed like moonshine, but he was unable to speak. Then Krishna said, "My Lord, do not act in this way. You are the great shelter where all auspiciousness resides. Indra just stood there, his head bowed as if he had been struck by his own thunderbolt. As long as he remained silent, Krishna remained silent also. And when Indra began to speak, Krishna replied in eloquent words. Indra said, "Due to my gross ignorance, I created a huge disturbance. I acted out of intense anger because you stopped the sacrifice that was to be held to satisfy me." Krishna smiled and he said, "If proud demigods are to be worshipped merely because they enjoy celestial pleasures, then why not also worship drunkards who enjoy in a similar way?" Indra replied, "It is quite befitting that you severely punish one whose vision has been infected with false pride." Krishna said, smiling, "O great Devata, I did not punish you. I only saved my own men." Gazing at Krishna's feet, Indra seemed to be performing an abhishek with the flood of tears that were falling from his eyes, from his thousand eyes. And in this way, Indra indicated his desire. He wanted to perform a royal abhishek. On Surabhi's request, Indra and Surabhi, along with Narada, Aditi, Varuna and all the devatas, quickly prepared an abhishek because Krishna gave an indication with his eyes that he was prepared to accept it. Surabhi remained up in the sky and bathed Krishna with the milk from her udder. And Airavata raised his trunk upwards, upwards, upwards to the heavenly planets, and he brought back a jeweled pot full of water from the Akash Ganga, Ganga in Swarga, for Indra to offer. Then all the devatas and their wives and their daughters all arrived, and they began respectfully bathing Krishna, whose beauty spread in all directions. And finally, Indra announced that from now on, Krishna was the Indra of the cows, the Lord of the cows, and he should now be known as Govind, Govind. A wonderful arti was performed, which Krishna dutifully accepted. And then all the devatas, the rivers, the oceans personified, they all offered beautiful prayers. They said, "You dress in gorgeous golden garments which outshine the pollen of kadamba flowers. You are the wisest of men. You conquered the crafty Indra and shattered his pride. May you be the continual object of our glorification. Kindly show compassion and protect us. And please, please, fill us with ever-increasing love for you. At that moment, a jeweled throne appeared and an attractive umbrella, and Krishna sat down, and the devatas presented priceless gifts to him. And then, smiling, Krishna said to Indra, "My Lord, you became too proud because you were receiving puja from my family, my father, and my relatives. You were being worshipped by those whom I worship. When I stopped the yajna, you did not think who it was who did that, and nor who it was who was protecting the cows and the people that you wanted to destroy. By breaking apart your yajna, I gave great mercy to you. I did this because I wanted you to understand that you have an overseer. You have a master. By nature, I cannot bear to see my own devotees possessed of false pride. It is well known that such persons deserve to be punished by me. Is your anger now pacified? You are so close to me. Tell me truthfully." Indra said, "You are very difficult to know. Please, do not cover me with illusion. O Lord, with a slight glance from your eyes, you can cause fortune or misfortune." Krishna said, "Do not be carried away with your wealth and lose your intelligence again. Now you should return to Swarga and enjoy your position. O Indra, why do you fear me? I will uproot your enemies. Use your intelligence properly and act correctly." Indra listened to Krishna's compassionate words and accepted his kind chastisement. And then he circumambulated him and he returned to Swargalok. As soon as all the devatas and the devis and everybody had gone and left, Krishna was so happy. He immediately went looking for his friends. He concealed this incident from the gopas. But when they came and they saw all the celestial paraphernalia everywhere, the ghee lamps, the chamaras, and all the different things, they were amazed and they picked them all up and they made Krishna sit down and they took the ghee lamps and they playfully began to worship Krishna. And at every moment they laughed and their joy increased. Then Krishna and the boys and the cows returned home. And do you know? A celestial voice could be heard when he returned home. All the residents of his village heard a celestial voice that said, "O King of Braj, as we bathed your son with an abhishek and accepted him as Govinda, you should also worship him with an auspicious ritual." Hearing this divine voice, all the people of Vrindavan, all the Brajavasis thought, "Yes, we should celebrate. We should celebrate a festival with songs and dancing and music and brahmanas offering auspicious blessings and then making a tumult of auspicious sounds and bearing jeweled lamps in their hands. Hundreds and thousands, hundreds and hundreds of the most exalted ladies from Braj immediately came there and they all offered aarti to Krishna. But they offered aarti to Krishna with the love in their hearts. Then they gave him the many jewels of love from their hearts. And thinking of him as love personified, they very carefully, very gently and very respectfully brought him inside to feed him and then to put him to rest for the night. In this way, the glorious Govardhan festival, which included the puja, the Govardhan puja, and the joy-filled week that they spent beneath Giriraj, and the offerings of worship to their dearmost young son, filled Yasoda and Nanda Baba, the gopas and the gopis, with astonishment and great delight. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.